I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. American sports fans are finishing up a busy week. The Dallas Mavericks celebrated their NBA title with a victory parade yesterday, and tomorrow, Bostonians will be out on their streets of their city to cheer the Stanley Cup champions, the Boston Bruins. We Americans can go a little crazy about our sports, but perhaps not as crazy as your average Australian. They love their sports down under, as The World's Jason Margolis can attest.
It's a bit of a cliché to say a country is sports mad, but in Australia, the cliché fits. Australia is not just sports mad. It measures its place in the world on the sports field.
Sport, I suppose it's our great distraction, but it's also the great sort of bonding of Australian society and people and culture.
That's Sean Gorman from Curtin University. I went to an Australian rules football game with him in Melbourne to try to find out why Australians love sports so much.
It's a hard question to answer, but I'd say that that's what it basically boils down to. It goes straight to our identity and the way that we do things here in Australia.
And the way they do things, Gorman insisted, is more intense than any silly old American baseball game or Brazilian soccer match.
Without a shadow of a doubt, when you talk to people from overseas, you can just hear that there. When you talk to people from overseas, they are gobsmacked at just how popular this game actually is.
I was myself gobsmacked at how passionate Gorman and others were in making their argument. To prove his point, Gorman even went through the personal humiliation of trying to sing his team's fight song. He supports the lowly Fremantle Dockers.
I'm a little bit embarrassed to actually sing it because it's not done in the traditional way that, you know, it starts off, Frio heave ho, Frio heave ho. Give him the old heave ho.
We'll let him off the hook there. Here's a fight song done properly. These are the fans of the Melbourne Demons. There are many theories as to why Australians cherish sports so much. First, there's the climate and space theory. David Rowe is a professor of cultural research at the University of Western Sydney.
Now, it's much easier to engage in sport in Australia because it has good weather and has lots of room.
Makes sense. Then there's the theory that sporting culture in Australia is different because it's not dominated by one or two main sports.
You've been to Britain, I'm sure. You know that, you know, football mad. You know, Italy, football mad. South America, football mad. But not sport mad. What distinguishes Australia is a broader commitment to sport.
I'd buy that. Australians seem to like just about anything with a winner and a loser. Then there's the theory that Australians are just trying to get their mother's attention. John Coates is the president of the Australian Olympic Committee.
The British take notice of us because we bash them up at cricket.
Correction?
Well, we used to.
And lastly, there's the chip on the shoulder theory.
And they're off and racing.
I spent a day at the horse races in Sydney with Clive Alcock. He's a psychiatrist who also writes about horse racing.
I think you Americans have got the rightful position of being one of the big nations in the world. And our competitive says, well, we'd like to be up there, but obviously we're not so big. We haven't got such a strong business culture. We can do well in sport. Being a smaller country, we can take on the world in sport and succeed, and succeed beyond sometimes our wildest expectations.
Like at the Olympics. In the unofficial medal table, Australia finished in fourth place at the Summer Olympics of 2000 and 2004. In those games, the Aussies took home about half the medals that the Americans did. Not too shabby for a country with only 1/14 the population. And Australia's incredible success was no accident. Again, John Coates, the president of the Australian Olympic Committee.
Between 1980 and 2000, we imported 200 coaches, largely from Eastern Europe and Asia, in diving, in gymnastics, in rowing, in canoeing, in archery.
In just 8 years, Australia more than doubled its medal count. But then the wheels fell off the bus. At the Beijing Games in 2008, Australia dropped to sixth place. Newspapers depicted a country gripped by an identity crisis.
Well, the Brits beat us.
But why? I mean, it wasn't like it was a disaster.
And it was. We set about finishing the top five and we came sixth. It's not good enough.
Coates says that won't happen in London next year. He says the old Olympic ideal of just participating,
that's not the Australian ethos. We are very much about winning. We're unashamedly try to be in the top five.
This determination to win at all costs is starting to be questioned among ordinary Australians. Taxpayers are paying an awful lot of money to train their athletes to win all those medals.
Various people have tried to come up with calculations of the cost of a gold medal.
Again, David Rowe at the University of Western Sydney.
One I saw was about $48 million per Australian per medal, so something of that nature.
That's at the very high end of spending per capita compared with other countries. Rowe doesn't think that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars. He thinks that money could be better spent on community ball fields and local resources. That was also the conclusion of a well-publicized national report in Australia. Try telling that to Rebecca Rippon and Alicia McCormack. They've represented their country at the Olympics in water polo. McCormack doesn't buy the idea that she's a coddled elite athlete.
The only people that really know that you're an Olympian are either people that you've grown up with. If you come from a small community, people from there may know, or people within the water polo community. It's not like I'd be walking down the street and someone would say, oh, there's an Olympian.
But once the Olympics are on TV, McCormack and Rippon know they become role models. And Rippon says that matters.
If you want people to aspire to do things and there's nothing for them at the end, then it's really hard for them to continue and wonder why they're putting in the work.
But investing in role models and national sporting prestige is no longer resulting in widespread public participation. People aren't getting off their couches. Australia has an alarming obesity problem among its young people. Still, for the time being, that hasn't put a dent in funding elite sports. Last year, the Australian government boosted the budget for training top athletes by more than 20%. So Australians remain as obsessed as ever about sports.
Ian Thorpe the master, Ian Thorpe the king.
Just not playing them. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.
Go behind the scenes at the Australian Women's Water Polo Training Facility, the videos at theworld.org.